Welcome to Mike Fisher. Please stand.
Congregation, please be seated. We welcome so many of you here today to be with us. We are, as a family, overwhelmed by your kindness and your love. We especially give thanks to God for the gift of this community, this congregation, Emmanuel, for Sweet Springs and Emma, for Concordia, Higginsville. Those are not just places, but people who poured into our Matthew. And we are nothing but grateful. We have so many other members of other communities here today, too. And Sarah and I just simply want to say thank you. Thank you. We will turn to our gracious God's word as we consider the words of a shepherd boy, the words of a king, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. If you would, please, if you don't know these hymns, get to know them. If you are like me and you say, my voice isn't very good, I shouldn't sing, I promise you Mr. Jacobson will play plenty loud. We would love for you to sing glory to our gracious God this day. We sing verses 1 through 4, hymn number 461 in your hymnals, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Gracious word for us. We turn to the Old Testament in addition to our psalm for today, to the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah lived about 700 years before Jesus, yet God worked through him to call out all kinds of names and things, words of woe, but also words of peace and blessing, of forgiveness and restoration. And so we turn to Isaiah chapter 40.
We read verses 25 through 31. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and they shall walk. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We turn then again our hearts to the beauty of our hymnal, the beauty of men and women who wrote these songs, knowing what it was to plumb from the depths of despair and hopelessness and to rely fully on the word of God. We sing hymn number 727, On Eagle's Wings.
Thank you.
Another word from our gracious God, 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is our gracious brother Paul speaking to a young pastor. And he declares some beautiful words. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. St. Paul says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And that ends our epistle lesson, our gospel lesson, an Easter lesson, a lesson that all of you who grieve and mourn, not only Matthew, but those of you who have lost loved ones, I'm so sorry, I didn't know what it truly feels like to be on this side. But we need these beautiful words from our Lord. From John chapter 20, we read 24 through 31. If you wouldn't mind, for those who are able, I would invite you to please, out of honor for our gracious Lord, stand at the hearing of this gospel lesson. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, and then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That ends our gospel lesson. You may be seated. We join in singing hymn number 763, When Peace Like a River.
Thank you.
you would afford me just a moment. I have to talk to someone. And I'm going to go to the place where he was defeated. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Satan, you have done your worst. Come, get us, for we are adorned in our champion who has defeated you. You may go to hell. To those who are watching far away, we love you and we thank you for being here with us this way. For those who are perhaps downstairs watching as well, we thank you for being here. You are not lesser to us. It's just a matter of space and physics. To those who have come from afar, we are so grateful for you traveling. Thank you. To our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus of these surrounding communities, we are ever so grateful. To our dear brothers and sisters of Sweet Springs, thank you for hosting us for so many years. To our brothers and sisters of Emmanuel, we are ever and always in debt to you for how you helped us raise our precious children and to love them. To our dear and precious family, to you who have championed Matthew and loved us, thank you. To my dear and precious children, we are so grateful. To my bride,
you knew him before we did.
For me. Praise God. To my daughter, Bree. May our gracious Lord continue to hold him. Hold you in his precious arms. We welcome you and your family and embrace you. I've heard a lot of good things said about my son over these last number of days. I don't believe a word of it. I have proof in my basement. A number of years ago, Matthew was quite upset about something. None of us can remember what it was. He took his foot and put a hole in one of the doors in our basement. He came up and apologized later and said, "Dad, I'll fix it. Matthew, now I'm going to have to put a frame around that hole." My son was not perfect by any means. I know he had sin, because I know his dad very well. And I know what his dad handed down to him. Sin. I know what God's word says about sin, the wages of sin. It is this, it is death. And so many of you have experienced this over and over again in your families, in your communities. The wages of sin is death. That's the grief. That is the embarrassment that I stand before you this day. You know that Matthew was a sinner because his dad's a sinner. And so where do we go? But to the Word of God. The Word of God that speaks and declares a better word, and declares a better word to Matthew, and it declares a better word to you. We heard it, we saw it in our gospel lesson for today. How Thomas was in full-blown doubt about who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for him. The other disciples had gathered around Thomas and said, "You'll never guess who we saw. You'll never guess who we saw. We saw Jesus. He was here with us. You'll never believe it. He was here with us. He even ate some food." And Thomas says, "I will not believe. I know what happens to dead people. They don't come back. They're gone." He said, "No, he was here." Thomas makes declaration. He says, "I will not believe. I cannot believe. The only way I would is if I take my hands and touch him and put my fingers into his wounds and take my hand and put it into his side. That's the only way I would believe." Oh, our Lord must have cried. Our Lord, wherever he was, knowing what Thomas was doing, not believing. A week later, Thomas was gathered with the others in a room where the doors were locked, the windows were shut up tight. Who shows up as he showed up for Matthew in his baptism? Who showed up to you in your baptisms? Who shows up with Jesus? And he shows himself and he says to you who are grieving and filled with tears and sorrow and agony, he says, "Peace be with you," exposing his wounds and his hands. And he chases after Thomas, who would not believe. And he says to him, "Thomas, see, touch, know, believe." Thomas makes a confession of faith. The same many of you made in your confirmation vows, the same Matthew made in his, "My Lord and my God." Thomas was redeemed by faith alone in Christ. Jesus goes on to say beautiful words for those of you who do believe. He speaks words. "Thomas, you have believed. Thomas, you have believed because you've seen. Blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet believe." John goes on to write and say in the gospel, "You know, Jesus did all kinds of other stuff. Don't you have a doubt about it. But if we were to collect all those things and try to put them in books, not all the libraries of the world could contain what our Lord did while on this earth. But I want you to know that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you would have life." Life, the opposite of where Matthew is right now, in death, that you would have life in his name. If you would look at the obituary that's printed in your bulletins, go online, you can see the obituary. It closes off with a bolded phrase. Could you all read that to me? It's a bolded phrase at the conclusion of his obituary. Would you all read that to me, please?
"One more is in here."
You may have taken that I meant that about Matthew, and yes, that is true. But for me, it's a rally cry. It's a rally cry. This is not going to be the last tragedy that you all experience. It's not going to be the last tragedy that this world experiences. So we need to gather the ones who have walked away from the faith. We need to reach out an invitation. We need this. To reach out an invitation and say, hey, I got a sad story to tell you, but I want you to know and meet my Jesus. The same Jesus that Matthew confessed and loved and was loved by. There are people out there who don't know Jesus because it's not in their family. It's not in their culture. They need to know. One more for the kingdom of our gracious God. Please, one more for his kingdom. Some of you may be on the fence right now. You may be looking at this and saying, where is God? My family can tell you where God is. He's been in all of you. As you have cared and loved for us, God is love, and where love is, God is. For those who do not know, we need one more. If that one more is that gentleman who drove into that vehicle that night, that gentleman who was driving on the wrong side of the highway, who plowed into them and took my son's life and injured three other gentlemen. If it's him who comes to know Jesus, one more for the kingdom, praise be to God. All this suffering will be worth it. Some of you are aware, perhaps some of you are not. I share this with you with all due dignity and honor and respect to Bree. Please afford her the privacy. The night that we found out, moments, maybe hours before, Bree was getting together baby clothes. She was busy making a sign. She was ready to receive her husband that night and share the most joyous news. Matthew, you're going to be a dad. In accordance with our Heavenly Father's will, but I can assert right now, one more little one for the kingdom. Please, I beg you, may this be the fire that has lit under us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Share him one more. If you're not sure where to start or what to say in those beautiful relationships you have, I would invite you to something that Matthew had to listen to his father, who I know is now droning on and on and on. I'm sorry. If you've fallen asleep, I don't blame you, but I need you to wake up, please. This is the key part for all of us. This is the ammunition that you need and are equipped with to have one more for his kingdom. It's from Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for all of us in this. That while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died and he rose again. Thank you to every one of you for your kindness, for your judgment, and for your love. I'm going to practice one last thing. It's where you are found in Scripture, Revelation. John sees a whole host of people in every tribe, language, and nation. They're gathered around the throne of God. They're wearing white robes and they're carrying the palm branches in their hands. And amongst all the redheads in heaven, there's one more gathered around the throne of God, crying out with one loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." May the peace of our gracious God, against all that which is doubts in your mind, may it guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, and through you, one more for his kingdom. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to a very big brother in Christ Jesus. Not my brother, Jameson, I love you and I know you're out there, but another brother in the Lord, Pastor John Ferguson. He's going to lead us the rest of the way through as we turn our hearts to some very good words.
We continue by confessing the faith into which Matthew was baptized in the Apostles' Creed. You'll find that on the back cover of a hymnal if you do not already have it before you. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
The request of the family, we have a reading concerning Matthew's earthly life on the back of your bulletin. Matthew Carl Wing, 22, of Seward, Nebraska, formerly of Sweet Springs, Missouri, went home to his Lord and Savior on Friday, March 13th, 2026. Matthew was born on January 23rd, 2004 in St. Louis, Missouri, and was the son of Reverend Daniel Stephen Wing and Sarah Elizabeth Colson Wing of Lincoln, Nebraska. He was brought to the waters of holy baptism on February 1st, 2004 at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wood River, Illinois, by the sainted Reverend Martin Schultz. He was confirmed in his Christian faith on May 4, 2019 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Matt lived in Sweet Springs, Missouri for much of his life. After moving to Lincoln for 4 years, he returned to graduate from Sweet Springs High School in 2023. He then went to Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska, pursuing his degree in secondary education. He was an avid runner and was a sprinter on the track team at college. Matt met Bree while on a church trip to Worlds of Fun in Kansas City in 2018 with the Trinity Youth Group. Their friendship turned into love, and on May 24th, 2025, Matt and Brianna were married. They were blessed to have had each other in their lives for the last 7.5 years. Matthew is survived by his wife, Bree, his parents, Dan and Sarah Being of Lincoln, Nebraska, one sister, Caitlin Kirby, Aaron and their son, Nolan of Sweet Springs, one brother, Andrew Wing of Lincoln, Nebraska, maternal grandparents, Carl and Carolyn Colson, an aunt, Lori Colson, all of Sweet Springs, paternal grandparents, Dale and Kathleen Wing of Kalispell, Montana, an uncle, Jameson Wing, and Joanna of Meriden, Idaho, his father-in-law and mother-in-law, Craig and Sarah Worley of Lincoln, Nebraska, sister-in-law, Hadley Worley of Lincoln, Nebraska, grandparents-in-law, Dan and Charlotte Worley of Raymond, Nebraska, and Paul and Lois Leckband of Norfolk, Nebraska, as well as many other extended family members, friends, and his pet lizards. The Lord's love for Matt was made evident through how he lived his life. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the same could be said of Matthew's life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. One more for his kingdom. We continue with prayer. We ask you to rise. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth and giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted to our brother Matthew during his earthly life, especially for calling him to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort the survivors who mourn his death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven. Keep us mindful that we are mortal, so that we will ever be prepared to die in the faith and receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we also pray for healing for all those in the accident. We especially pray for Jackson and Hayden and for Noah. We pray, Lord, that he would continue to make progress, especially Noah, in his challenges that he faces, his recovery from surgery, in his facing a long rehabilitation. We pray that you'd be with his family and him, that your holy angels and your spirit would guide his caregivers, that he may find strength and recovery and rejoice in you. We pray, Lord, for everyone who is affected by the loss of Matt, that your grace would attend. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. We pray together as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In holy baptism, Matthew was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all of his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our hymn, Abide With Me, hymn number 878.
Amen.
announcement. If you are staying to eat, which of course Matthew would love for you to stay to eat, we invite you that as we go out, if you'll go around the side of the church and in through the education wing behind us, down on the lower level, that's where you'll find a way in to join for the meal. And with that also, I will say a meal prayer, because we're all gathered here. So join in the prayer, even if you're not eating here. We are glad to have you. Heavenly Father, all things come from your hand, life and breath, and every good gift of field and table. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this time of food, that it would strengthen the bodies of those who partake, the time of fellowship, that we continue to grow in the bonds of family, friends, and faith, and that your grace attend all as we leave here, not only to keep us by your angels from harm and danger, but also the evil foe have no place among us or power over us. We ask your grace be upon this day, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Continue with the benediction, which will be followed by a word from Matthew's wife to you all. The benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen. We invite you to come up.
Like Matthew once told me, there are moments in life that you can't get back, whether they're good or bad. We've all had great ones and a few rough ones, but I wouldn't trade any of those moments for the world, good or bad. Life is like a roller coaster with ups and downs, and I'm willing to get on that roller coaster with you through the highs and lows. He will be dearly missed by all. Matthew is clearly a strong member in many communities, Sweet Springs, Missouri, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Concordia Seward in Seward, Nebraska. We all feel the pain and hurt of his death, some of us more than others. But I think we can all agree on one thing, that if Matt was still here and we were grieving the loss of someone else, he would do his best to be here for each and every one of us. That was simply the kind of person he was. He jumped on every opportunity to help someone out, and I hardly ever heard him complain about any of it. He did it with a happy and God-giving heart. The memories of him that we hold dear to our heart, the good and the bad memories that we all now cherish, some will fade and come back, some will always be fresh in our minds. I keep asking God for a sign that Matthew is safely wrapped in his arms, and I know that that sign may never come, and I know it's up to me and my faith to believe that he is safely with God, in no more pain, no more suffering, no more fear or worry, and I think that's what bugs me the most, because he is up there, worry-free of what is going on down here, and I'm jealous. All I can do is worry. We all love Matthew, and he loves us. That is something that is never going to change. He died loving us, and he died while we were loving him. And even though my soul seeks deeply to feel him put his fingers between mine, to feel his arms around me, to run his fingers through my hair and vice versa, till the day I get to feel his arms wrap around me and the safety and security of that, I will be here waiting, taking care of his family like they take care of me, waiting for the day that I get my turn to go to heaven and be with him forever. Till that day, I'll wear red and orange, his favorite colors, and to walk the path that he was walking with Jesus Christ in honor of him.
We continue with our closing hymn, the last four verses of the hymn.